And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. Again, between the benediction and the salutation. I know you ever had the experience of having a conversation. Sometimes it comes through telemarketers. It could be something that happens in the job, something that you probably fully didn't anticipate. Sometimes you hear on the radio some kind of communication or exchange or conversation that can find itself being weighty. You are the recipient. That means you are the one who being spoken to or at the back end of what's being said or done. And then after they dumped on you, amen, they'll say, have a nice day. Now, of course, if I could get through the phone, I could let them know how good my day going to be. But of course, I wouldn't do that because I'm a Christian. But you know what I mean. Sometimes you sit down and talk with someone and, amen, they might pour on you. And after that, after they leave refreshed, but you're there depressed. And they feel better. Amen. But you're going around and taking some Excedrin. Amen. And I'm being facetious again, but I want you to understand it's life sometimes that happens where, again, you're the recipient of some weighty things. And then it seems as though it, in a lighthearted manner, seemingly somehow, or it's how you construe it. In other words, because I'm the one, you're the one that's not the beneficiary, you don't seem like it is, even though that's what it's meant to be, it has a weighty effect on you. And consequently, your reaction to it can be different from the person who's given it. Are y'all following me here? I know everybody who's been through that, some one time or another, again, where it just seems like there should be more, a greater measure of sensitivity. Amen. And again, that is relative. What that means is this, that it could be that is what it is, but that's not how you take it. Amen. Amen. Like sometime when I'm coming out and driving somewhere, I turn on KYW, you know, and that's a little pet peeve of mine sometimes. Wonderful. They do, you know, they tell you, and I'll wait for the traffic, you know, and then they'll let me know that 476, 676, is, and, you know, they name all these places. Sometimes they leave out where I'm going. Amen. And then sometimes say, everything looks good. Amen. Then I make a turn onto the expressway, and I still got to go another, you know, a mile or two before I can have an exit. And then I get on there, you know what I'm saying? And it's backed up. Y'all see the way I said it? It's backed up. And then the person on it very lightly goes on to the weather. Now, that's life. You know, that happens. But sometimes you feel as though, saints, when, you know, you're in betwixt. You're the one in the middle of the event or the occurrence and the person who's given it to you. And you can feel as though you're between a rock and a hard place. And that's one thing in one area of life. But when it comes to, again, those weighty matters, those urgent matters, those difficult times, it has a whole different effect on you. And so if you have been here or if you have read this letter, we call the book of Hebrews. And again, I always, you know, since it became more evident, again, just what this means, what it is, it's an epistle. Amen. It's an epistle because it's a letter. It's literally that. And this letter, this term he uses in here, he says this letter, it means not just an epistle, the letter, but it means to send a letter. It's something that was written through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and is sent to a church or a people, a person, and it has very personal and intimate detail, but it comes from God. But listen to me. But even though it comes from God, the recipients, because you're the one who penned it, you're the one sometimes who takes the lion's share of what they don't like was said. You with me here? Be careful when somebody asks you to tell somebody this or that. Amen. And you're not around. But this letter here, and again, I ask you, if you've been coming, there's some deep things in here. And some weighty things are said, and even some things, again, which causes a pause because it makes you rethink what you have believed. I'm not saying God does not want us to major in doubt. But what he does do, however, is to cause us to have a sober mind about who we have put our faith in. And when trouble and trials come, and the way we begin to respond to it, God is concerned that we have a not just faith in him when you got saved, but faith. And he said he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him after you've been saved. Y'all don't hear me here? And so when he's writing this letter, and again, he's not with them. And the writer infers that at some point he's going to go up and meet up with them. But watch it now. But he says that, listen to me, Sam. He doesn't say that in the beginning, per se. There's a little pockets where he might mention, but he doesn't say in the beginning. But after the letter is at its end, after he's done telling you, you better get with it. After he's finished telling you, you better be careful. After he tries to exhort you and tell you that because of Jesus, again, you can hang in there. After all that's said and done, after all that he put out there, again, some probably got felt pressed down. It kind of got him a little skitterish because of the way the language he uses. If some began to question, you know, again, what I say I believed in, even though that was not his purpose, but nonetheless, that could have been its effect. And he's going through all that, but then he gets at the end. He comes in at the end of the letter here, you get, and sometimes in the Old Testament, they do it in certain books, you get what you call the benediction. Amen. Amen. The benediction. And see, sometimes, you know, when you go to church, sometimes that's what people wait for. They don't know nothing else, but they wait for that benediction. How I know? Because it's like this. But the benediction, saints, usually, again, as it occur, and also there's a word called a salutation. That means a greeting. So they greet in the beginning, but also at the end. And what are you going over this for? Because they done been through a whole lot. If you read this and you've been coming, we've been going over the Bible study, he's been saying a whole lot of deep stuff. Again, the stuff has been weighty and heavy. And some of them might have said to themselves, you know, he doesn't give us a reply from them, but someone said, come on, man, lighten up. You understand? I mean, you're digging in me, man. You know, yeah, that's right. They talk like that back then in the old century. Well, you with me here? I mean, they're the recipients. They're the ones who the letter was written to. And then when you write the letter, when the person wrote the letter back in the New Testament, someone was given the letter and they would take it to the people who were in that region who were saved. They didn't have the basic, you know, they had church and people's house and stuff like that, but they would gather them together because then they would want to read what God had sent to them through this person. And so everybody would be sitting there. And can you imagine that? Everybody would be sitting there, and then he just starts to read what's being said or been written in this letter. Everybody's sitting there, and you're on the other end of it. The person's not there, but you're on the other end, of the word of God. But nonetheless, when you look at this, again, there's a whole lot of weighty things are being said. And so when it comes to the end, he begins to close it out. And the benediction is what you basically starts to close out the letter or the word that God had given. Sometimes, every so often, you see the benediction in the middle because, amen, sometimes God starts to be praised and worshiped in the middle of the letter. You just got to put the pen down and start to bless God. Yeah. Are y'all with me here? I mean, you ought to have something like this sometime when you come to church. Where, amen, you need to put down the menu, you need to put down the ink pen, you need to put down the program, amen, you need to put down the nonsense, amen, you need to put down whatever other people got, don't have. Put that down and worship God. So this letter was written to them, and now the writer comes to the end. He says, now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Now watch it now. And I just said all that, and he ain't done. Are you with me here? He ain't done. But see, the benediction is a blessing that's being conferred upon the recipient. It's Old Testament, they have them, but in the New Testament, you see Paul has quite a few of them. But what's interesting to me is, and it's not, I'm going to spend a lot of time on it, is in Romans, Philippians, this letter and another one, Paul, at the close of it, he uses this phrase, now the God of peace. Yes, sir. Y'all didn't hear me. Now the God of peace, because the Holy Spirit could have chosen any attribute of God to use as the closing of the letter. He could have said the God of love. The God of peace says no, but now the God of peace. In other words, after he done poured it all out, told you everything he wants you to know, he begins to close it out and he starts to come towards home, says now the God of peace. And I want you to know that sometime when you're going through, when you're going through stuff and amen, God has spoken sometime and you'd have heard some news that ain't too good. When you get to that point, what I want to hear is the God of peace. The God of peace, the God of shalom, the God of wholeness, health, that the God, now the God of peace, who brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Y'all with me here? Come on, this is a mouthful. But that's all right, because he's telling us about what Jesus did for us. Make you perfect in every good work to do his will. Working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Oh, my goodness here. Now, the God of peace, watch now, raised his son from the dead. He shed his blood, made an everlasting covenant with you. And not only that, he did that for you, but also there's things he's going to do in you. Don't ever forget that. This is not some overarching, transcendent pie in the sky, but God did all that so he can do something inside of you. God said, listen, all that I did through my son is to make you perfect. That don't mean sinless. It means God's make you complete. In other words, all that stuff y'all been going through, you've been going through, God said, I'm using it to make you better. God, I'm equipping you to be further along in your Christian life. The God of peace is doing that. And notice, in every good work, watch it now, to do his will. Oh, my goodness. Are you understand what I'm saying? In other words, God is doing those things in our life for his divine purposes. See, if I get myself in the middle, I'm going to have a problem, because I think God's supposed to do my will. But no, it ain't all about. God is doing this for his will and his name's sake. And I'm glad about it, too. Even though I don't react the way I should, God knows what he's doing, where he's taking you, and how you're going to get there. Jesus. Sometimes I feel like between a rock and a hard place. Ain't that right? God said he wants you to pray, but he also wants you to keep going. You want God to stop, and God said, I'm just getting started. But he's doing something. He's working in here. He's working in you. Oh, come on here. Yeah, we were singing a little while ago. He said, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. Notice now, working. You see that word? Working. That means something that's happening, brother. But that's talking about holy energy going on. Amen. It's that way. You ain't got indigestion. You ain't got acid reflux. You got God moving on the inside. God is doing something. You might not look like it, but you, if you let him have his way, you're getting better.